Yankees bowl. Mile high, Miguel Sano. UZR, who cares? Bumgarner, death stares. Justin Turner, Kershaw. California baseball. Marte, Altuve. Power speed bombs away.
Fantasy baseball time. What's up, everybody? We're going to talk about everything that happened yesterday, everything important. Plus, Scott is getting into a fight with some very important media members. Adam Azer, Scott White, and Chris Towers. Am I allowed to talk about that on the air, Scott?
Yeah, you can talk about it. There isn't an actual fight.
There will be.
Someone's trying to start stuff.
Yeah,
I think what's going on.
Somebody's stirring up trouble.
Scott tweeted something innocuous, and some little tattletale went and quote tweeted him, "Don't be a tattletale. If I want to at somebody, I'll at them."
Right. Don't at them.
Oh my God. I tweeted,
"I wish Braves beat writers would stop pretending Johan Camargo is legitimate building block, because I don't think Johan Camargo is a legitimate building block. I think he's a scrubby infielder who has started to play like one and still has a BABIP of around like 365, even with a lot of regression having already happened." So, I wasn't calling out anybody in particular, but somebody decided that they would call out somebody in particular via me, quote tweeting me to Braves beat writer David O'Brien, who I have no problem with David O'Brien. I think he's very good at his job, and I'd rather not get into any kind of Twitter beef with him.
All right. Crisis averted, everybody. Everything is fine. Dansby Swanson's coming back. Camargo's going on the DL. And we're going to start today's show before we talk about Dallas Keuchel, before we talk about Joey Gallo, my goodness, 10 home runs in less than a month, much less than a month. Let's play Name That Player. I am owned in 32% of leagues. In my last seven starts, I have a 2.98 ERA and a 4-2 record. Five straight starts of seven or more innings and a sub-3 ERA in my last seven, and I'm only owned in 32% of leagues.
Oh, man.
And I recently allowed only two earned runs at the Dodgers and home against the Cubs.
Wait.
Ty Block
is correct. Look at these juicy matchups for next week at Miami. I guess that's not that juicy.
And yeah, that's not a great matchup.
Home against the Phillies.
I wish Giants beat writers would stop pretending like Ty Block is a legitimate building block.
I mean, he is a
Ty Block.
He is a legitimate Ty building block.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, where are those matchups again?
Miami on the road, Philadelphia next week. Philadelphia at home.
All right, so we're looking at a guy who has struck out
not very many people.
11.8% of the opposing batters he has faced this season. His walk rate is pretty good, but
yeah,
he doesn't combine the incredibly low strikeout rate with even an average ground ball rate. And
that's
a really hard combination to make work. You can do it in San Francisco every once in a while, but I think the wheels are going
seven
to come
in
off
a row. So.
Yeah, he has a 3.60 ERA even at home and 4.15 ERA overall. And there have been a lot of really good starts mixed there, a lot of the two earned run seven inning variety, but then those starts where it's gone wrong, it's gone really wrong. And considering I think you mentioned his strikeout percentage, K per nine is 4.4. if you're more, you have a better frame of reference for that stat, like, you don't see pitchers in this day and age succeed with that. I could give him some benefit of the doubt if he was one of these extreme ground ball pitchers, but like you said, he's just kind of a above average ground ball pitcher.
It's not even above average. He's 45%. That's below average at this point.
Okay.
So nobody cares about Ty Block, right? You don't want to buy in?
No.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Rest of season, Ty Block or Dallas Keuchel?
Well, Dallas Keuchel was due for this kind of
There's much more than that going on right now. I watched the game last night. There was some bad luck, but you can't really blame it on that. 8 runs in 4 innings on 10 hits, and now a 10.50 ERA in 3 starts since coming off the DL. His fastball does not look very good to me. I know he's not a hard thrower, but he just looks weak up there. But more importantly, from what I saw yesterday, a lot of elevated pitches. And we know Dallas Keuchel peppers the bottom of the zone. I do think location is a big problem, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and you could make the argument, you know, this is kind of a less extreme version of what Chris and I have actually both been saying about Marco Estrada. Dallas Keuchel, guy who sits in the high 80s, depends a lot on command. His success does. And so when he loses his command, there's not a lot to fall back on. And so I guess you could make the argument it was inevitable he would have a stretch like this where he just doesn't have the same command. But at the same time, considering it coincides with all the neck issues, I can't help but think the two are related, that he got a little rusty, maybe even altered something slightly mechanically to compensate for the neck pain, and now he's having trouble locating his pitches like he did earlier in the year. The stuff looks fine, I mean, in terms of velocity and everything. I think he will bounce back, but if he's doing this at the White Sox, I think it's worth sitting him, actually.
Well, he's got another start. He's got another start this weekend.
You jump ship after
this isn't jumping ship.
You two were saying Dallas Keuchel was the best pitcher in baseball.
I still think he'll get back to being a Cy Young candidate, but I want to see him get on the right track. I want to see him get back on track.
He's at Texas. At Texas this weekend. So, like, if you have him in a two-start week, obviously he's locked in. But if you have him in a daily league, and you can make changes at Texas this weekend, yeah, I think I would sit him. And I'm concerned. I really am. Like, he pitched through injury all last year and didn't pitch well. So, I don't know, man. Concerned. But I guess we can talk about it on Monday. We'll see how he does over the weekend for Dallas Keuchel. He will be facing Joey Gallo. Joey Gallo, since July 19th, so a month after my birthday, which is important, Gallo's batting .295 with 10 home runs, 4 walks, and 24 strikeouts. He is overall the number 23rd baseman in points leagues, but number 11 in Roto. .210 batting average, 31 home runs. One of the hottest hitters in baseball. Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, Joey Gallo.
Yeah, I totally unrelated, but Jeff Bannister said today on MLB Radio on Sirius that he thinks Joey Gallo could be an everyday center fielder, which is just wild. That is wild to me. Joey Gallo's good.
Is he, though?
Yeah.
Is he good for fantasy? Because before this stretch, he was, you know, not somebody that we would have
wanted to own.
He's
been like a top 15 guy for most of the season, hasn't he?
Well, he's terrible in points leagues.
Yep.
Roto, categories. I mean, yeah, he is what he is. He's 210 really hurts.
Yep.
I mean, he's kind of the power version of Hamilton, Billy Hamilton, right? Like, he's so good at the one thing that, you know, in an imperfect rating system where you have to try and balance five needs and spit out one number, as the Roto formula does, he might show up fairly high because of how much he excels in that one category. But if you don't need that category, you know,
sure, but
he's
somebody,
pretty worthless.
But somebody does.
Well, trade deadline's passed, probably.
But he needs to be owned, and he's probably worth starting.
And a I don't know. I mean, right now I'd start him. Sure, he's hot, but
I mean,
we saw just before this how
he's got 31 homers and a 880 OPS. He's got, you know, he's on pace for right around 90 runs and 90 RBI.
And like, what's his batting average?
It's .210. That's the one place he hurts you. He's even got 6 stolen bases. If he comes out of the season with 40 homers, 10 steals, 90 runs, 90 RBI,
he's Chris
that's
Carter.
A good player, even if he hits .210. You just have to account for the fact that he's going to hurt you in that one category.
Well, but we're not drafting. We can't account for it right now.
Right, but we're talking about moving forward. We're talking about, like, he's somebody who is useful to somebody somewhere. If you have him on your team and you can't afford to start a .210 batting average player, and that's likely what he is, that stinks, but he's, like, you're not going to drop him.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just weird with guys like Gallo, who's a lot like Chris Davis, I guess. It depends when you have the conversation, right? I mean, if you look at July 18th, he had an .810 OPS, batting .190. It's just not really going to cut it. Now he's got an .879 OPS. That is going to cut it.
I feel like Joey Gallo is what Adam Dunn was toward the end of his career, where it's like, I guess we still have to give him credit for hitting home runs, but man,
but it's not even like that. Like, Billy Hamilton is elite in one category, but he doesn't really help you anywhere else. Joey Gallo helps you in four categories.
Well, so yeah, right now 60 runs and 59 RBIs in 102 games.
Yeah, I don't know what that translates to over a full season.
It's about 90 for both.
Okay.
That's not bad.
That's definitely a plus. So, well, 85 for both.
Oh, look at this. I got the Joey Gallo page up. I got a very handsome, well-dressed Chris Towers in a little video box talking to me about Joey Gallo. CBS Sports, terrific website. Terrific website. You go to a player page on CBSSports.com, you're going to get these little video blurbs. Like, this is 45 seconds long. It'll help you out.
Okay, how about this? Joey Gallo's Chris Carter. That's underselling him?
That's what I... Yeah, I said
no,
that
I
it was...
That's okay.
Chris Carter
Chris
during
Davis.
His best year.
I actually said Chris Carter first, but I know nobody heard it, but that's okay.
I thought you said Chris Davis.
I said both.
Yeah, I definitely heard Chris Davis.
Both. Yeah.
Which kind of made sense, too. So I didn't, you know, didn't raise an eyebrow if you're talking about C-Riss Davis. But no, I think in terms of Chris Carter, and even at the time, Chris Carter was good, you know, 40 homers, low batting average. Like, it still drove me crazy to own him because, even in a roto league, because it's like, you have to know you're going to stick with him every week, even during those week, you know, half month long stretches where he's doing absolutely nothing for him. You just have to trust he's going to bounce back and trust yourself to trust he's going to bounce back.
Yeah,
and I don't trust myself that much.
He's an imperfect player.
Okay, yeah. And I'm sorry, I'm looking at my tweets because I wanted to move forward to our next guy, and it's Odubel Herrera. I got such an annoying tweet from Heath last night. It was like, so is Odubel Herrera good now? And I just responded, no. And I didn't even know what he did at the time. I just didn't want to give in. But he's been pretty damn good. I'll give him that. 64% owned. Odubel Herrera is the number 9 outfielder in points leagues, number 10 in roto since the All-Star break. Yesterday he homered, he doubled, and he stole 2 bases. And Odubel Herrera has 34 doubles, or 34 doubles in 107 games. Yeah, I mean, last time we spoke about him, he had this hot streak, and it still wasn't really that impressive. But it's continued now, and the 2 steals were good because he only has 7 on the year. Do you think Odubel Herrera is under-owned at 64% owned?
He was my number 1 sleeper hitter for this week. So at least for this week, I guess I could say he was under-owned. Yeah, I mean, the hot streak's largely batting average and doubles. So, you know, that's well, not going to be great for everybody.
Over the last 57 games since June 1st, he's got 9 home runs and 55 starts, 22 doubles. He's hitting .338. That's really good.
It's largely batting average and doubles, though. You'd have to agree.
That's a 25 homer pace.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know also in terms of where he ranks in fantasy points during that stretch, I was underwhelmed. He was only like the 30th outfielder, I think, in head-to-head leagues. Because I wanted to include that little tidbit in the hitting column. And it's just like, yeah, that's not impressive. I'm not going to include it. but I don't know. I still see him as like a matchups type in a league where in a year when outfield is deep.
Yeah, well, if he starts stealing, that would change things. But only 7 so far for Herrera. Mm-hmm. And Austin Pruitt is the last guy I wanted to talk about today as one of my standouts. I picked him up in a couple leagues. I don't really know why. I didn't drop much for him. But Pruitt, with 2 good starts in a row, 6 innings, 1 run, 5 Ks against the Red Sox. Previously, was 6 1/3, scoreless, with 3 strikeouts at Houston. Pruitt does not throw very hard, but he is RP eligible, and again, he's 5% owned, and I guess I just felt like making a transaction last night because I only made one over the weekend. Anybody interested in Austin Pruitt, Rays starting pitcher?
Not really. Only as an RP, like as a SPARP, which the bar's pretty low there.
Yeah, it is. Man, I'm looking at his game log right now. Swinging strikes are nowhere to be found. He was really good at AAA this year. Minor league career, though, is pretty spotty.
Okay, well, if you want to learn more about Austin Pruitt, you want to see what these guys are doing, make sure you get our CBS Sports app. Go to CBSSports.com/baseball. CBSSports.com/baseball. It'll direct you to download the app. It's got OPS, it's got OBP, it's got WHIP, it's got fantasy points. Swipe right on the box score. You're going to get some really cool features. CBSSports.com/baseball. I do see some very interesting tweets. Chris is just not going to apologize for the Manny Machado stuff.
All right, so here's the dumbest thing about that. It's dumb.
It's not that dumb.
Manny Machado has been my number one shortstop every single day this season. There has not been a single day when I have moved Manny Machado out of my top spot at shortstop. He's had a great 11 games because he's Manny Machado. He's one of the best hitters
right,
in baseball.
Right, exactly. That's my point. But was it a coincidence?
But you didn't trade for him 12 days ago.
Was it a coincidence? Different argument. But was it a coincidence, Chris, that you skipped the podcast the day after Machado's Grand Slam and came back the day after Keiko got lit up?
No, because Josh Donaldson had a good game yesterday,
I'm
ready to take it.
Okay.
We won't mention that Andrew McCutchen hit another home run yesterday, Adam.
I mentioned my McCutchen failures all the time.
I own the McCutchen failures. No, I missed yesterday's podcast because I lost my wallet was stolen.
What?
On Monday, and I had to go to the DMV, and then my wife's car wouldn't start yesterday, so I had to drive back home. It was a mess.
Oh man, I am sorry to hear that. That
it was a mess.
That is worse than being wrong about Manny Machado. Let's do.
I'm never wrong.
Exactly. Let's do a segment called Five Guys. Since Scott crapped all over In-N-Out Burger, he loves Five Guys, presumably. Here's a segment called Five Guys. I want you to rank these five guys rest of season. How would you, if you were making a trade chart, how would you rank Chris Sale, Corey Kluber, Josh Donaldson, Giancarlo Stanton, and Aaron Judge rest of season? Chris Sale, Corey Kluber, Donaldson, Stanton, and Judge.
Would you like to go first, or should I?
I will go Sale, Kluber, Stanton, Donaldson, Judge. Maybe Judge over Donaldson.
Yeah. I'm gonna go Judge ahead of both Donaldson and Stanton. I'm gonna go Sale, Kluber, Judge, Stanton, though that line between Judge and Stanton is microscopic. And then Donaldson fifth. Not that I'm down on Donaldson. I mean, these are just five really good players you asked us to rank.
We are seeing the entire breadth of Aaron Judge, the entire possible landscape of Aaron Judge.
Yes.
He was unbelievable early on in the season, best hitter in baseball. It was unsustainable. What he's doing right now is probably unsustainable.
Hopefully unsustainable, but that's
but
what scares me.
But there's a chance that he's Joey Gallo.
Yeah,
like,
it
that
scares
is within
me.
The realm of possibility.
Yeah, Stanton and Judge are back-to-back in outfield standings right now, 4-5, depending on the – or 3-4, depending on the format. Stanton has, like, one more fantasy point. Judge slightly better in Roto, and Judge still has 20 more points in batting average, but that is just falling by the day. One thing, though, for Judge is that he has walked 81 times. Stanton has walked 56 times, and since the All-Star break, Judge is batting 175 with five home runs. He has 37 strikeouts in 23 games. He has a Yankees record, 25 straight games with a strikeout, but he also does have 20 walks, which is encouraging. Although I seem to remember being encouraged by the same sort of stat for Eric Thames. Like, well, he's still walking. And that hasn't really gone well. Like, I'm surprised that Scott has... I would have had Judge last. I'm surprised that Scott doesn't.
I mean, my thing is, when we drafted the first two rounds for last year during the All-Star break, Aaron Judge was the 13th pick, I believe.
You're doing.
I don't want, sure, but it wasn't like a controversial.
No,
there
it wasn't.
I
I think he went ahead of like.
Chairs weren't thrown.
No, I think he went ahead of like Rizzo and a couple others. I might have taken ahead of him, but
he was someone we were taking in the first
round.
And
he still is. I think he is basically Giancarlo Stanton. I think he hits the ball a little harder. I think he strikes out a little more.
At this point, he strikes out a lot more.
Sure. I mean,
What we've seen from Stanton this year is a change in his approach. And early on in the season, it was a change in his approach that was leading to less power. Now we're seeing that he's making a lot more contact. He's chasing fewer pitches outside of the strike zone. And he hasn't had to sacrifice the power. He actually has the highest slugging percentage of his career.
So why are you surprised, Adam?
Because I know how much you hate strikeouts. And because Stanton is more proven than Judge, no question. Stanton did have this kind of stretch. I don't know what the strikeout numbers were, but God, he was so bad last year for a pretty extended stretch. But man, Judge is just lost at the plate right now. It's very frustrating.
Eh.
Okay.
I think it's an overreaction to just bury
Judge
all of a sudden.
But
no, I'm not burying him.
there's a chance that us including him in the first two rounds was an overreaction to the first 3 months. That was such an outlier compared to his minor league career.
Like, I'm going to stick, I don't remember when you asked us last. It was like a month or 6 weeks ago, something like that. And I pegged Aaron Judge as a late second rounder. And that's still what I think he ends up being.
Fair enough. Let's go dig a little bit deeper. Also, I think it's also noteworthy that Chris Sale and Corey Kluber were number two for both of you guys, right? Put the pitchers first.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think all these guys are mid to late second rounders.
Chicago White Sox, they're calling up Ronaldo Lopez for Friday's start. Who's excited? Who wants to pick up Ronaldo Lopez?
Yeah, I think he's probably worth picking up given the need for starting pitching pretty much everywhere. I slotted him just outside the top 70 at starting pitcher, so maybe some 10-team leagues, you know, you wouldn't need to go that deep into the pitching pool. But obviously there's upside for him to rise from there. Fastball approaches 100 miles per hour. I think he has some things in common with Luis Castillo, and we've seen how his ownership percentage has risen. He's up and owned in more than 70% of leagues. Now, obviously, Lopez will have to deliver to stay on rosters, but player with that kind of upside at a position of need, you roll the dice and reassess continually from there.
So you'd rather pick up him than Austin Pruitt, easy, right?
Absolutely.
Easily.
And you'd rather pick up Reynaldo Lopez than Ty Block?
Absolutely. Yes.
Would you drop Sean Newcomb for Reynaldo Lopez?
Yes.
Probably.
Would you drop Lance McCullers?
No.
Okay. Clayton Kershaw's making progress. That's good. Michael Brantley is on the DL. That's bad. Sprained ankle. Is there a timetable for Michael Brantley?
They are going to see how he responds to treatment and make a determination whether or not to DL him after that.
Okay, I'm looking at a league that I own him in, and it says DL. So
yes, he has been put on the DL.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Dude's on the DL. And,
but
and
it's not an Achilles injury, which was the concern.
He was playing so well. I need Michael Brantley. And this could help Bradley Zimmer. Bradley Zimmer's been sitting against lefties, and now that Jason Kipnis is back, Kipnis has been leading off, and Zimmer has been batting like seventh. So hopefully this gets him higher in the order. Hopefully this gets him in the lineup more often. We shall see. Andrew Miller could miss more time than expected with a knee injury. Felix Hernandez is out 3 to 4 weeks with shoulder bursitis.
Probably got to drop him.
The Mariners love making trades. They acquired Ernesto Friere from the Rangers, and they paid $1. $1.
All right.
So like 3 or 4 Ernesto Frieres could get you one delicious double In-N-Out cheeseburger. Just letting you know.
Those gross fries with all the crap on them?
Animal style? It's delicious. Yoan Camargo left with a hyperextended knee. He's on the DL, and Dansby Swanson expected to be recalled. Detroit sent Jamer Candelario back to AAA. CeCe Sabathia left with a knee issue. Alex Cobb's on the DL with a toe injury. Blake Snell is going to pitch tomorrow. Guys, we talked about a couple of outfielders who are back, Cameron Maben and Dexter Fowler. Let's talk about two more. Aaron Hicks could be back this weekend, and Avi Garcia returned yesterday. So who are your two favorites in that group of Aaron Hicks, Avi Garcia, and Cameron Maben and Dexter Fowler?
Two favorites.
Maben and Fowler.
Yeah, and it's a different favorite depending on the format. Fowler for the points leagues, Maben for the categories leagues.
I'm interested to see what happens with Aaron Hicks with playing time, but also, man, he was having a really great breakout season.
Yep. Yeah, he could leap to the front of that group if I was sure he was playing every day, mm-hmm. but I'm not.
Fair enough. A few more notes for you. Hanley Ramirez could play today. Two players made ridiculous catches yesterday. Adam Engel made an amazing catch. Billy Hamilton made an otherworldly catch. It was so much better than Adam Engel. Adam Engel's stupid, pathetic catch compared to what Billy Hamilton did.
Billy Hamilton's was like the second best of the last 8 days.
What was the best?
Come on. Forget already?
The Justin, the Jackie
Austin
Bradley
Jackson?
One?
Austin Jackson?
Austin Jackson, right.
Yeah.
In Fenway. I should probably reconsider my stance on whether or not that's a home run if you fall into the bullpen.
Yeah, that was a bad take, Adam.
All right, here's the thing. Everyone's saying that, well, if you catch it and you fall into foul ground, it's still an out. But foul ground is already, there's no difference between foul ground and the seats. Those are both out of play.
That's actually a good point.
But a home run.
No, I mean, every home run that's ever been, what about the Indy Chavez catch where he clearly reaches over the fence?
He doesn't, but the ball comes back in play.
Yeah, it ends up in play.
Well, it ends Indy's up in play, too, in once play. He climbs back over the fence.
No!
That's not how it works.
That's not how it works
not
at all.
So if Indy Chavez fell over that taller fence, you would have said that was a home run, too?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know anymore. All I know is I'm thinking of proposing a 2 feet inbounds rule.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No, a hot dog is absolutely not a sandwich, and everybody knows it's not a sandwich, so don't know. It's not. Neither is a burger. A burger is a burger. A sandwich is a sandwich.
Well, I don't know.
Shut up, Chris. Tommy Pham. So I was reading about Tommy Pham's eye issue. It has apparently improved. We were wondering about that. It seems like that has been a big reason for Tommy Pham's fantastic year, so that's interesting. And Chris Bryant, we were talked about Chris Bryant a lot yesterday. I forgot to mention, he's been playing through a finger injury, and that could be slowing him down a little bit. Keone Kella's on the DL with a shoulder injury, and Daniel Murphy sat with a sore knee. And just a few lineup notes, Trevor Story batted ninth at Cleveland. Ugh. Gregory Polanco has sat two of the last three against lefties since he's come off the DL, and Eduardo Nunez stayed in the lineup. He led off. He went 3-for-5 with two doubles. Dustin Pedroia was back. He batted second and DH'd. Whew, a lot of, I'm out of breath. So I'm going to let you guys speak about the double dongers from yesterday. Justin Turner, 4 home runs in his last 3 games, 2 yesterday. Jake Lamb, he's been okay lately, but he hit a grand slam against a lefty yesterday. Max Kepler and Eddie Rosario are owned in 32 and 14% of leagues respectively. They both double-donged yesterday. Justin Turner, Jake Lamb, Max Kepler, Eddie Rosario. Anything to say about these guys?
Jake Lamb's quite good. We've talked a lot more, I feel like, about Travis Shaw this season. But Jake Lamb's been just as good as him this year.
Yeah, I was actually trying to figure out, before the two-homer game, Lamb was ahead of Travis Shaw in head-to-head points, and I was trying to figure out why, because huge difference in batting average.
Walks.
Shaw's over 290. Lamb.
Walks, Lamb's walked a lot.
Walk
more.
Like a lamb. Yeah. Right off the top of my head. Nailed it.
Okay.
No respect.
I don't even know what that is.
Walk like a man. Four seasons.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Sure.
Woo-wee. All right. Anyway,
so,
Scott hits me.
Can I finish my point?
I guess so.
No.
So basically Jake Lamb's regressed to a 268 batting average, and he's still ahead of Travis Shaw. He's still, I think, third in third base points. And, that's what they now normalized BABIP. Remember, we were worried early in the year what would happen when his batting average normalized? Well, it has.
Shaw's a little bit, I think, one spot higher in Roto because of the 9 steals, probably.
And the batting average difference is a big deal, too.
But Lamb has more RBI, walks more, so that explains the head-to-head. But they're both top 5 third basemen this year. And they're both very good.
Yeah, I do get concerned with Lamb. I'm not going to draft him next year. Unless he totally slumps at the end of this year and people are down on him. It's hard to be that bad against lefties and to be this good in general in fantasy. The walk rate being way up is very encouraging. He has as many walks this year. He actually has one more walk this year than he had last year, and he's played 106 games compared to 151. But, I mean, this guy is terrible against lefties. He did homer against a lefty yesterday, but, I mean, he's got to be one of the worst hitters in baseball against lefties. And I don't see him as, like, a top 5 round pick, which I suspect he might be next year.
That's fair. And a good example of how good you have to be against righties to make up for that is Max Kepler's very good against righties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 288 OPS above 860, but he can't hit lefties and doesn't play every day. And Lamb is hitting 152, but he plays regularly enough against them and has a 630 OPS because he's hit for some power and he walks a decent amount. That he's at least useful. Like, he's not so actively harmful.
Right.
That, you know, he can't be. He's not Kyle Schwarber against lefties.
Right. And Jake Lamb's batting 214 over his last 28 days. Still giving you power, though. Still has a really good OPS. I guess it's largely yesterday.
But Max Kepler has a 356 OPS against lefties. So there, that's pretty much your difference.
Okay. Fair enough. One more little Minnesota tidbit. I love seeing this every day. I always track the Robbie Grossman OBP versus slugging percentage, because Robbie Grossman walks a lot. He has a 372 on base percentage with a 245 batting average. Robbie Grossman has a 372 on base percentage and a 371 slugging percentage. Quite funny.
I think Luis Castillo did that for his whole career.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. He had a 368 career on base compared to a 351 slugging.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Next category. Interesting middle infielders. Interesting middle infielders. I'm going to give you, I think I got four names here, and I want you to tell me who your favorite middle infielders are. Josh Harrison, Jed Jerko, Jose Perella, four hits yesterday, and Yanhervis Solarte. Josh Harrison, Jed Jerko, Jose Perella, Yanhervis Solarte.
Favorite? Like, the ones I'd want to own most?
Or the ones you'd like to hang out with the most. Yeah, who'd you like to own most? Harrison, Jerko?
Because I think Perella's kind of fun.
Perella and Solarte. Well, I just want to point out that Harrison and Jerko have been they've been pretty cold for a while.
Yeah. Jerko did finally homer yesterday. It was his first in 21 games. Also walked three times after having seven during the previous 20 games. So, I don't know. He was definitely cold, but he's also been the most proven of this group. He is the one who is shortstop eligible.
Yep.
And I think that makes him the clear victor. Harrison's second to me. What did you say?
Said he's the victor, and he corrected you and said Jed is his first name. Jed Jerko.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
Full of jokes today.
Yeah.
All right, fine. If you were going to rank them as second baseman, rank them as second baseman. Harrison, Jerko, Perella, Solarte.
Oh, that's a hypothetical that doesn't need to be. Okay. I think I'd still go Jerko, Harrison, Perella. No, Jerko, Harrison, Solarte, Perella.
Yeah!
Okay.
So exactly in the order
there. It might depend on what my team needs.
So Perella at 12% owned. Now, he was 8 yesterday. He's 12 now. What do you think?
Going to be 16 tomorrow.
Chris Towers, ladies
and gentlemen. I think 12's too, not owned enough.
Yeah.
I think he probably needs to be 50% owned.
Okay. All right, more from yesterday, and I do want to let's get this out of the way. Let's get this out of the way. Let's peel the Band-Aid off. We are going to be switching times for the podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
This is my least favorite decision every year. When do we swap baseball and football? We don't have two hosts. We have one host for both shows. And it is clearly fantasy football season, and, I'm not going to lie, we have a lot more fantasy football listeners at this current moment than fantasy baseball, but we still have a lot of baseball listeners, and we still care very, very much. So we're going to be swapping times with fantasy football going forward, except tomorrow, and Mondays. Mondays we'll do baseball in the mornings, and you'll get your baseball shows that when you normally do. Tuesday through Friday, you should expect baseball around, I'd say, 1 p.m. Eastern? Yeah, I'd say around 1 p.m. Eastern. For baseball on Tuesday through Friday. And I'm sorry. It sucks. I hate it. I know people are going to tweet me and they're going to be mad, and I get it and I will accept that. It's just a decision that we have to make, and I apologize. All right. Six-man rotation. Is there anything that that we haven't covered so far that you think is like an absolute must cover?
The six-man rotation.
Yeah. Good. Here we go then. Six-man rotation. Zach Godley was good enough against the Dodgers. He gave up 2 homers, 8 hits in 6 2/3, but 3 runs against the best team in baseball. Meanwhile, Jose Quintana was disappointing against the Giants. He only gave up 3 runs in 6 innings, but 3 Ks. Quintana has a 4.20 ERA with the Cubs so far, but a lot of strikeouts. Who'd you rather have rest of season, Godley or Quintana?
Quintana.
I would rather have Godley.
Wow.
I think I have Godley 19th in my starting pitcher rankings now.
Doctor.
Just think he's a total stud.
I like it. I like it.
Do you have Godley ahead of Severino?
No. I have Severino like 11th.
Okay. And Paxton you also have ahead of Godley, right?
No. I have Paxton ahead of Godley, yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm trying to communicate with Nick Costos through the door, and I don't know exactly what he's asking, and I don't know how to communicate my answer, so...
I think he's asking, when are you guys going to be done with your podcast so we can get in and record the Pick Six podcast or the In This Corner Wrestling podcast? You should check out all of our shows at cbssports.com/podcast. But believe me, I already sent the note. I told him we'd be done at 12:30, so crisis averted. All right. So
yeah, I think he was asking to come in 5 minutes. So
that's not going to happen. Jason Vargas. Drop him. 96% owned.
I wouldn't drop him. No, I'd keep him around for the 2-star weeks. But I think you've gotten. It's time to recognize you've gotten the majority of his usefulness out of him, and no longer play the 1-star game with him.
Well, this is this 2-star week. He has the White Sox on the road this weekend, so you can probably start him there. But then you might be able to drop him.
Yeah, I think because at that point, if we're saying he's only worth using in 2-star weeks, you might use him one time for the rest of the season, maybe twice.
That's Jason
Vargas.
Definitely
not for the next 2 weeks.
I mean, I think that's worth keeping him around for.
Really?
How many addable 2-star pitchers are there in a given week? 2, maybe?
I'll just say in our next segment, we have Herman Marquez, who's 73% owned. I would rather have him than Jason Vargas.
Well, you didn't ask me that.
Well, but that's, like, I'm not saying every single person should drop Jason Vargas. But he is clearly too highly owned at 95% or 96%.
I think
he is someone who, in a 2-star week, can be owned in 60-70%.
Okay, maybe a little. I think it's more of a case of Marquez being under-owned, though.
I don't think Jason Vargas is any good. I think he's mid-4
ERA guy.
What's
the lowest point in your starting pitcher rankings that... Because, like, top 60 pitchers are all pretty much, they should be owned everywhere, right?
I have him 73rd.
Okay.
Yeah, you've been pretty consistent with that, Chris. So it's not like how you're wrong about the Machado thing. Like, you're looking good on this Vargas thing.
Number one shortstop every single day of the season.
But
every single
but what day. I don't understand is when I say Manny Machado is going to go on a hot streak because he's due, and then he goes on this hot streak, and you just go, of course he went on a hot streak. He's Manny Machado. How is that any different than the argument we had last week? How is that different?
Because you're saying you know when he's going to go on a hot streak.
No, I never said that.
Yes, you are.
Scott, did I say that?
No.
No, I said it's going to happen.
Scott has no idea what you said. Scott and I had this whole Twitter argument the other day about what he thinks you said.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad
I wasn't part of that. I don't know.
Scott doesn't listen.
I feel like somebody's being obtuse here
and it's
refusing to bridge the divide. I don't know exactly who it is, but I'm tired of it.
Fair
needs
enough.
Needs to stop.
And are these next three players must-starts? Michael Wacha, Jay Happ, Kenta Maeda.
Not must-starts. You can sit them against tough matchups. They're all must-own.
Mm-hmm. Maeda, interesting. Maeda, again, will not throw more than 94 pitches, apparently. And he has a 1.33 ERA in his last 5 starts, but he's only gone more than 5 innings once. And we know the deal with Maeda. 93% started, or 93% owned, 78% started. But even with the limited innings, 4-0 in that 5-start stretch, 133
high ceiling, low ceiling, high floor pitcher.
Yeah, high floor for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's harder to justify in a points league where you just expect him not to get you a quality start ever. But yep. Roto leagues, I mean, he's helping in all the ERA and whip and
strikeouts.
Can he just throw fewer
pitches?
Yeah,
strikeouts from a pitcher, that's a good week.
Yeah, he has 24 strikeouts in his last 27 innings in those 5 starts. But maybe get through 5 innings with 84 pitches instead of 92. Like, just try that. Just
try a little harder.
Yeah.
He's not trying hard enough. That's his problem.
Fringy starting pitchers. Not all that fringy for some of them, but who do you want from this group? Herman Marquez, Ariel Miranda, Julio Teheran, Jeremy Hellickson, Parker Bridwell, and Chad Kuhl.
Marquez is the only one that I think needs to be owned in more than 60% of leagues at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's time to move on from Teheran.
Yep.
There just hasn't been, like, even his good starts, the strikeouts, there weren't any. He's at 101 and 130 and a third innings this year. And the bad starts have outnumbered them, and if they've been recent, and yeah, I just
the Roto World write up on Julio Teheran last night was great. It was something like While it feels like Julio Teheran has given up five earned runs in every single start this season, this was actually the first time he's given up exactly five earned runs. He's had some with six, some with seven, one with nine, but none with five.
Wow.
He's been terrible.
Yeah, he's trying to like win one of those contests where you have to score every amount of runs. And he has a 5.25 ERA. And it was just crazy. Earlier this week, I'm looking at one of my leagues, 14-team league, the waiver wire, and Julio Teheran is there, and I didn't pick him up. And I said, wow, not picking Julio Teheran up in a 14-team league. That tells you something. Parker Bridwell, guys, he's at Seattle this weekend. Are you going to start him at Seattle? Bridwell's got a 3 ERA and a 6-1 record for the Angels.
Yeah, I've been pretty vocally opposed to Bridwell, who now has five of his last starts have been quality starts, but five strikeouts or fewer in all but one of those five quality starts. So it's in a way that appears unsustainable to me. Now, his minor league strikeout rate was actually okay. It was better than 8/9. If he was doing closer to that, I'd be a little more willing to look into him. But I think this is just totally unsustainable.
4.65 FIP. No way.
Okay. Let's go to the bullpen. Greg Holland. You know, I don't think we'd have to really worry about Greg Holland having two bad outings in a row, except doesn't this coincide with him cutting his finger?
Yeah.
So, you know, don't cut your finger, buddy, and hopefully you're okay. But otherwise, we wouldn't be worried about Greg Holland. Tyler Clippard got his second save. Six straight scoreless appearances for Tyler Clippard. He is 17% owned. Would you rather have Tyler Clippard or Matt Belisle of it?
I would rather have Matt Belisle. I would rather have any one in line for saves other than Tyler Clippard.
Yeah, he's a mediocre pitcher who gets saves on the worst team in baseball.
He could have been the Yankee Clippard, though, if he had gotten saves for the Yankees. Would have been fun. And Kenyon Middleton. Who? Yeah, he got the save. Yeah. Bud Norris may have been demoted, ladies and gentlemen, for the Angels. And Blake Parker gave up three earned runs in his last appearance, but he's probably the best reliever in that bullpen. What's your take on the Angels' bullpen right now?
Well, Middleton gave up a solo home run. Fortunately, it was a two-run lead, so he was still able to convert the save. But his numbers on the year, basically, I don't think it's him. Like, he hasn't been 4.25 ERA, 1.36 whip. More than a strikeout per inning, I guess, but the Angels have so many pitchers in their bullpen who we've looked at all year and said, ah, this guy could be a pretty good closer. Too bad Bud Norris is doing so well. So just because Cam Bedrosian and Blake Parker happened to have some bad outings recently, I think it would be crazy for the Angels to decide that they're not worth closing. They're not worth having close either. I think Parker's the guy I'm pursuing today, even though he wasn't asked to pitch in this game at all. I don't know if they were just giving him a break because that last outing was so bad. It doesn't look like he needed a day off, but his strikeout rate has been off the charts. And prior to that bad outing last time out, he had a 2.05 ERA.
Yeah, Blake Parker with 62 strikeouts in 49 innings. Only 32 hits and 14 walks, so that's a sub-1 whip. I just will point out that his strikeouts have gone down basically month by month to the point where he's, you know, June, 13 strikeouts in 11 innings, July, 10 strikeouts in 11 innings, and so far in August, one strikeout in 2 2/3. But still, he's having a great year. So Blake Parker, somebody 6% owned. If you're desperate for a closer, not a bad place to look. And the Angels aren't bad, you know? So there's that. A few guys in deeper leagues I want to get your thoughts on. I bring this guy up all the time. I know he's not great, but he's 8% owned. Brian Goodwin, leading off for the Nationals. Leonis Martin, since being recalled, Leonis Martin has a .303 batting average and a .303 on base. He hasn't walked. 9 games. He has just one steal in 2 attempts, but we know he has some speed, and he homered yesterday. So there's Brian Goodwin, Leonis Martin, and a 3% owned pitcher, Vance Worley, who has had 2 good starts in a row against the Nationals.
I wish Brian Goodwin stole bases. It would be easier to be interested in him, but without that, I can't.
Okay, you don't have to.
Thanks.
But he scores runs because he leads off for the Nationals, so I think you could do worse than Brian Goodwin. And since the All-Star break, he is batting just .227, but he's 29th in points and 39th in Roto. And that's not bad. Three steals since the All-Star break. 11 doubles for Brian Goodwin. Okay. I'm off my Brian Goodwin thing here. Let's take a look at today's matchups, and then we will end the show with Grade the Trade. Still have trades coming in, and the games have already started, so you have missed your chance to get some starter sit advice on the Rockies, Indians, and Rangers Mets games. But Mariners A's, Yovani Gallardo and Jarrell Cotton.
I don't think I'm starting either.
I would rather not.
Kevin Gausman, yep, and Troy Scribner.
Kevin Gausman, sure.
Let's trust Kevin Gausman.
Yeah.
Four straight starts with 8 strikeouts.
Okay, Scribner making a start
that was
for the
end
Angels.
Of the sentence.
Then I picked up on that. Kyle Hendricks at Madison Bumgarner.
Start them both.
I will start them both.
Adam Conley at Gio Gonzalez.
Gio, not Conley.
Masahiro Tanaka at Nick Tepish.
Tanaka, start not Tepish. Tanaka.
Rick Porcello at Jake Odorizzi.
Odorizzi's first game back from the DL?
Yeah, first game back.
I'd probably prefer not to start him.
Yep. I don't think I'm starting either.
Porcello's
not
a terrible
league.
Option.
How about Ivan Nova at Justin Verlander?
I would start both.
Okay.
Nova only in a points league.
Travis Wood at Asher Wojciechowski, Padres at Reds.
Nope.
Yeah, move on to the next game.
Yeah, all right. Phillies at Braves. Jared Eichhoff, Sean Newcomb.
I think both are interesting options in deeper leagues. I would like to start Jared Eichhoff.
They have some, they're interesting in deeper leagues, but I'm not starting either.
Twins at Brewers, Bartolo Colon and Brandon Woodruff.
No. I mean, I picked up Woodruff in a number of leagues. Probably the same kind of leagues I'd be looking to add Reynaldo Lopez right now, but I'm not ready to start him yet.
Yep.
All right, would you rather have Woodruff or Reynaldo Lopez?
I think I have Woodruff one spot ahead of Lopez, and it's because he's made an appearance this year and it was effective. And that's like what moves
also
him ahead of Lopez.
A much better supporting cast.
There's that too, yes.
Astros at White Sox, Colin McHugh, Miguel Gonzalez.
McHugh for sure.
Uh-huh.
We got the Royals and the Cardinals, Trevor Cahill and Mike Leake.
I would
take a leak.
I would prefer to not start either of them. If I have to, I don't mind starting either.
This is Trevor Cahill's last stand for me. You need to show me something, Trevor Cahill, even though I don't own you in any leagues.
Last stand.
58% owned.
Make it count, Cahill.
Dodgers and Diamondbacks, do you trust Alex Wood at Zach Greinke?
Ah, I'm glad you brought up Alex Wood because I saw the OC Register reported that he regained velocity with a mechanical adjustment he made during a bullpen session, which,
nice.
You know, he made reference after his last start to, there's a mechanical adjustment I need to make. And I guess they were clocking him during the bullpen session and it was back. So, yes, absolutely. I start Alex Wood.
I will start both. I'm a little more skeptical of the magic bullpen theory, but we'll see.
Magic bullpen?
I'm interested in seeing.
Love it. Okay, I have a bold prediction for tonight. I think I should start doing this every night. Bold prediction. Justin Verlander will strike out 11 Pirates in 8 innings with 1 run.
Woo!
All right?
You're very specific and bold.
8 innings pitched.
Boldly specific.
1 earned run, 11 Ks.
Sure.
Love it. Here we go. Let's grade some trades. Trade deadline ain't here yet. Tyler from Minneapolis. Last week, I accepted a trade. I gave up Keuchel and Kimbrel for Alex Wood and Danny Duffy. Gave up Keuchel and Kimbrel for Alex Wood and Danny Duffy. I'm curious how you would have graded that trade last week and how you would grade it now. Give up Keuchel and Kimbrel, get Alex Wood and Danny Duffy.
I think that's a C.
I would have given it a D+ last week, and I'll give it a C- this week.
I would have given it a C at both times. I have Alex Wood higher than Dallas Keuchel at both intervals.
I would have hated it last week. Hated it, because I don't really see how you could put Alex Wood ahead of Dallas Keuchel before now. But
he's been
you
better.
Did. You did. Has he been better?
I mean, Keuchel's ERA, like, even before the last three starts, Dallas Keuchel's ERA wasn't that much better. And Alex Wood's given you a bunch more strikeouts.
I would guess, though, and I don't have it in front of me, and it would take too long to look up, but I would guess just in terms of innings per start, Keuchel's actual fantasy production was
maybe a little
higher.
Better.
They both were like basically undefeated for a while.
Yeah, like Alex Wood was 13-1. Keuchel's 9-1. Something
Keuchel
like
that. Keuchel was 9-0. Yeah. Now I think he's 9-2.
Yeah, I think they were probably pretty close.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, well, I wonder what's the strikeout rate for Alex Wood, because Keuchel...
It's 9.7 now.
Before the All-Star break, I mean, he had 69 strikeouts and 75 and two-thirds. It's not like he was hurting you in strikeouts. But
no,
Keuchel was fair enough.
A low strikeout pitcher for an ace, but yeah. Not just like a low strikeout pitcher in general.
Yeah. All right, Kyle from Grand Rapids, 10-team keeper league. A lot of guys here. Give up. Justin Upton, Ian Kinsler, and Robbie Ray. We're giving up Upton, Kinsler, and Robbie Ray. Three players who have at one time been associated with the Tigers organization. Upton, Kinsler, and Ray. Get Yelich, Wade Davis, Carlos Carrasco, and Brian Dozier. Yes.
What are you doing, Adam?
B
you
plus.
You got to throw seven names at us without putting it in the notes.
A
so
minus,
can...
B plus. Scott's cranky today. Is this because of the Braves beat writer thing?
It's an A.
It's my internal clock's all off doing this podcast later.
I'm sorry.
I can't deal.
Brendan from the North.
No, I can't keep up with that trade. What are you doing to
me? I know. It's an A. Don't worry about it. Brendan from the North. Hey, Seymour, Homer, Clancy, and Apu. We know them. Give up Chris Bryant. Get back you, Darvish, and Matt Carpenter. Chris Bryant for you and Carpenter.
B.
Chris Bryant for you and Carpenter? Okay. B sounds good. Yeah.
And last one is a six player trade.
Oh, three gosh. Teams.
Hang yeah. on, let me get a pen.
Okay, get a pen.
This I got a pen.
From Caleb in the air capital of the world. I don't know where that is.
The air capital of the world?
Yep. AIR.
Like everybody has air.
Yeah. Druidia. For those of you who get that joke. Head-to-head points league, dynasty league. Giving up. Jacob deGrom, Starling Marte, and Jose Ramirez. All right, we're giving up deGrom, Marte, and Ramirez.
Good players.
We're getting back Carlos Carrasco, Charlie Blackmon, and Eduardo Nunez.
Ooh.
So you go from deGrom to Carrasco, you go up from Marte to Blackmon, and you go down from Jose Ramirez to Eduardo Nunez. What are we doing with this trade?
I get to see. Like, Blackmon's clearly the best player in the trade.
Mm-hmm. And normally I prefer the side with the best player, but I think Jose Ramirez to Nunez is nearly as big of a downgrade as Marte to Blackmon is an upgrade. And DeGrom, I think, is better than Carrasco. So, I'll give it a C. I agree with that.
I think it's fine. It's sort of pointless.
Switch it up a little bit. All right, guys, thank you very much. And
Wichita is the air capital of the world.
No, it's Druidia. You don't get the Druidia joke? You ever see Spaceballs?
I have no idea what that's a reference.
Spaceballs?
Fooled you.
Yeah, fooled you.
Oh, okay.
They steal the air from planet Druidia. It's really...
Okay.
Because what you got is what we need, and all we do is dirty deeds.
I
with the Spaceballs!
That song. I love that song.
I can't quote that movie quite as well as you guys.
I'm pretty good with that one. All right, so I've had a weird podcast. I hope it wasn't too weird for all of you. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Back in the morning tomorrow. For Chris and Scott, I'm Adam. See you later. In the sun.